What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Arce Podcast. My name is Arsenio Mash. You can follow me on Instagram at RSAYSR, or you can follow the podcast page at RSAY Podcast. Today, I got Zach Barney on. He is part of a group called the Wolfpack, in which I am a member of, and he leads the group. And basically every week we go through and do a manifestation circle where we all kind of get together, we all talk, and we all try to help each other out. It's really cool. He's also training to be an ayahuasca shaman. And he's in training at the moment, and he plans to pretty much go all around the world doing ayahuasca ceremonies and teaching and helping people, with a lot of their problems, their issues. Aid introduced me to him, and then we started talking, and, I think what he's doing is awesome. I'm hoping we can get into a little bit of his backstory and how he got down to Colombia, and he's in Colombia now. He was in Peru a little while ago, but now he's in Colombia. So we're waiting on that. We'll wait on that. Wait on him to jump in. And you can follow him on Instagram at the Soulful F-U-L-L Poet. Zach Barney, awesome dude, man. I'm hoping we can get into it. He told me a little bit about himself, but I want to make sure that he is okay with telling his story and stuff like that. So before we get on, I'm gonna go ahead and talk to him. But hey, for real, listen, on Fridays you can go to facebook.com/RSAPod. Friday nights at 6 p.m. I go live. If you have something to promote, please come in and do it. I think we need things like that. You have your own social media accounts and stuff like that. But do we have a meeting place necessarily to, kind of connect and network? Sure, there's groups, there's admins, but we ain't worried about none of that. So you can come on in. I'm the only admin. You come on in, have some fun with us, listen to some music. If you got something to promote, hop in, and don't forget to like the page while you're there. All right. Yesterday I had Ben Hunter on. It was yesterday, but I'm trying not to make it seem like it was yesterday. But Ben Hunter on. He's just got a major deal. Yeah, he's a hip hop artist out of the UK. He's a great interview. If you haven't seen it, go back and listen to it. It's awesome. We'll be coming back on, obviously. Me, him, and Zach Barney are hoping to, get together and do some big things, man. We got some big news coming up soon. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you, everybody that's listening, everybody that's watching, everybody, all my patrons, shout out. Love y'all. That's the reason I keep doing this. You know what I mean? So, just do me a favor, if you want to become part of the family, go to patreon.com/ablocksentertainment. You can join the family from there. You want to buy some merch, teespring.com/stores/8-block-merch. All right. Thank you so much. So the next time you see us or see me, I will be with Zach Barney. So appreciate you. Yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. Today I've got Zach Barney, the Soulful Poet. Say what's up, man.
What's up, brother? It's an honor to be here on your podcast in this space.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you. I'm a big fan of your the Wolfpack. I love what the Wolfpack stands for, Yeah. So tell people what the Wolfpack is.
So for me, I see the Wolfpack as a tribe of conscious leaders that are starting to reconnect with nature and realign with these natural principles that we all have within us. So returning to the wild in a way and connecting with ourselves, connecting with each other. And this is the concept of the wolf pack, to, you know, be a wolf, not like a dog, a tame dog, but be wild. And so that's the concept that came up actually a couple of years ago when I was traveling in Peru. When I used to go hiking in the mountains, the dogs would always follow me. But I realized they weren't really just dogs, because they're out in the wild. The wolves were following me. And two of my really good friends that I met in Peru, mm-hmm. in Cusco, their names were like basically wolf. So I took that sign of the universe, that synchronicity, and I realized that this community that I dream of is like this, it's a wolf pack. It's not just a tribe, it's a wolf pack.
Freaking cool, man. That's awesome. So explain to me the journey of being, first off, doing ayahuasca, and secondly, wanting to, be a shaman for it.
Well, the first part, just being called to the medicine, was really interesting. One of my best friends while traveling in Brazil, he actually went first, like, in a way. I was always a little bit scared, or maybe it was subconsciously. I didn't want to go and have this experience with psychedelic medicine or with plant medicines, until I read one of my friend's articles, and that article changed my perspective. I was already meditating, I was deep into that path. And then basically once he wrote that article,
and I read, did you just fart? Was that a fart?
Yeah, I think that was like construction.
Oh, you're ripping a good one right now. That's pretty good. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
Columbia. Yeah, Columbia. There's always construction going on.
Right on. I'm sorry to get you off. You said you were already into meditation and all that after your friend had gone.
Yeah. So I was already into meditation. And then basically, what had happened is I read the article and was like, all right, I need to prepare myself for ayahuasca. And then naturally, in that journey, like, I was listening to the podcast, and I ran into Aubrey Marcus and his podcast. And then I realized, like, oh, this is perfect for me to prepare. So I just basically spent like a few months preparing for my first journey with ayahuasca. And what it revealed to me was really amazing, and there was such a profound healing that happened with the masculine energy within me, and also the feminine energy. Basically,
interesting.
It was healing like the energy, like the polarity within me, so I could come back into one, to really feel that oneness within me, and really feel that love within me. And that was my first experience with ayahuasca, and that first experience just really led into a deeper call to dive into understanding and practicing the indigenous traditions, basically, like going into these places. Like, so I went to Peru and spent a month in the Amazon with the Shipibo tribe, and now same like in Colombia, I've been working with the Siona tribe, which are one of the original keepers of ayahuasca here.
Oh, interesting. Oh, the OGs of ayahuasca.
basically the OGs. So their use with the medicine is really, it goes super deep, and just with ayahuasca alone. And it's been such a deep process that's mm-hmm. taking me into learning about, okay, how can I be a facilitator of this medicine and hold space for other people? And it's something that I've been resistant to be honest. Like, every time someone says like, oh yeah, you're a shaman or like you're a healer, I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not really.
Yeah. That's like when someone says, hey, I'm a comic, well, tell me a joke. It's like, well, it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, people give you the title, not you place the title. And the more I think about it, I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I'll tell people, like, no, I'm just like normal dry. The more I do that, like, the more people actually, they see me as like, whoa, you are this like healer, this like in a way shaman. And but it's definitely something that I resist, like calling myself that. Like
what would you like to call it? Like, would you call it a teacher? Would you call it a guide? What would you call yourself?
Particularly with the work with ayahuasca, I see myself as a facilitator.
Facilitator. Okay.
More. And my ability to facilitate is definitely becoming more enhanced. And I can see that comparison with like, you know, with the shaman, like being a shaman as well. But I don't, at this moment, I feel that the best title is like facilitator of these spaces, like ayahuasca ceremonies or retreats. And besides that, like outside of that work, I would say it's like that deep spiritual work. I feel that a bigger, more like surface work that I do is coaching. And really looking at like holistic coaching. So looking at mind, body, spirit, and how to really upgrade your life without ayahuasca as well. Mm. Like taking the insights of the medicine and applying it to your life without even,
I like that. That's very interesting. You know, like for yoga and stuff like that, when yoga started coming big here, they, you know, like Christians think that yoga is a bad thing. Like it's the devil's work, you know, hardcore Christians, of course. So what would you do with the stigma? I mean, well, I think, you know, it's breaking down now, obviously, to be perfectly honest. So I think your path is getting much easier, especially with the scientific evidence of what DMT, ayahuasca can do for you, psilocybin, all that good stuff. And, you know, you're right on the cusp of it, man. And I think that's awesome, dude. But what were we saying before? I'm so sorry. I lost track of what I was saying.
Just the title of, you know, coaching, like being a coach.
That's right.
Versus shaman or
facilitator. A facilitator. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, you could be like like the next top thing, bro, for real. Or at least that field can be. You know, the amount of, you know, education and, you know, learning that we need to do from all these different types of plants, plant medicine in general, I think, you know, it's important work for sure.
There's a huge gap as well in like in wisdom and knowledge in the world. Most people that are the people that are most interested and willing to commit and invest in this path are mostly from Europe, United States, like outside of South America. And there are people within South America that commit to this path, but there's very few because, first of all, they don't realize the opportunities that do exist if you learn how to heal others, like and heal yourself. But also, it's just on the other side, you know, in the United States, Europe, we have more problems with mental, emotional health. We have a disconnection from our spirituality. Whereas a lot of people here in South America are really connected with family. They don't really need as much, you know, plant medicines or psychedelic medicines, even though it would be helpful. It's helpful for everyone.
Yeah, because of you guys, Between you and Aid, obviously, I've been doing a lot of the walking in my backyard, looking for mushrooms and just learning about different types of plants that are out there in my backyard. Because, to be perfectly honest, like I found three species that are healthy for you, like we should be eating them like constantly. You know, it helps build immune system. Ganadora courtesy, I think is the scientific name for it. Reishi, I believe is the reishi. Yeah, golden. It's called the golden reishi, and I found like freaking a lot, big old handful. And it's helping me, learn about basically what's around us, you know, what all the natural resources that we actually have that people don't necessarily use all the time or are stigmatized because of the effects, you know. Thank you for that. But it's been really fun. And I just really want the best for you, dude. I mean, so what's next? What you tell me what you're going to do next? What's the big plan?
Yeah, before Nets, I want to just comment on what you're saying. Exploring in your backyard. I love that metaphor that, you don't actually have to go to South America or travel across the world to really appreciate what's in your backyard, what's right there.
Good point.
I would even say, like, it's not even about externally what's outside the house, but like, think about yourself as like that temple, that inner temple, and all the things that you can work on internally that are way, way like easier to like reach. They're like really like in, within us. Like, for example, sleep is one big one. Like, we all sleep, so that's sure. That's medicine for us. We all have to breathe. We breathe how many times a day? Like, we're always breathing. So the more we can deepen our breath and breathe properly, the better we'll live. And then we're always thinking. So if we have a practice that works with our thoughts, that helps elevate our mindset, we're going to feel better no matter what else is happening in our life. And if we move for it, so if we spend more time, not just sitting, but try to balance that out with some movement, some light stretches, walking, some play, dancing. Like, all these small things are right within our reach. And what ayahuasca does, it teaches us our own spirituality, right? Instead of having to go to church, like, we create our own church within. We create our own sense of spirituality.
I love that.
Ourselves.
I love that.
And I would say that in itself is valuable for every single person, like, in the world. To have that sense of spirituality, regardless of what happens within a ceremony, to find that connection with what's within, like our breath, with our thoughts, with our emotions.
That's good. Exploring your backyard. Nice. I like that though, man. I think we have to give ourselves more credit as a human species that we can control ourselves a little more. We can, just be better people. If we can just talk to each other and help each other. And, if you have an issue, breathing, meditation, yoga, all these kind of things that's out there for people to do, for people to help with their depression, anxiety, and social anxiety too, because I got that. I have social anxiety. Like, this is like my bunker, we've talked about it before. And, this is where I am, feel comfortable saying what I want. And, or just my opinion. I wouldn't, not necessarily a dickhead, but just saying my opinion. And you know, it's freeing. I think we need that. And socially, I feel awkward being looking at somebody, you know, in the eye, having a one-to-one conversation with and stuff like that. You know, little social cues that I don't understand. And, you know, so it's always been a challenge, you know, for me. And that's why I'm interested in doing the ayahuasca, to be perfectly honest. And because of all these little intricate tendencies that I have that I want to break. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And the part that you're talking about, like social anxiety, it's not necessarily a good or bad thing. But what I see is that when you're sensitive to other people's energy, it's really important to have your own space, which you've created for yourself. And it's actually a key part of like my spirituality, like my philosophies, is the fact that in order to be able to serve our communities, to really serve and show up as our like highest and fullest self, it's really essential to be able to have that space alone to just be ourselves. Like when you have that space for yourself, you know that you can say whatever you want, express whatever you feel, and it's just you. It's you like being in full acceptance and presence with yourself, which becomes like one of the most beautiful things that we can create for ourselves in our life, is like that space. So like before you think of like the social anxiety, saying it's like good or bad, it's actually helped you create your own sense of spirituality as well. Like, because now you know, like, oh, I have this space for me.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. and it's freeing. It really is. If you know, even if it's just in the car for a couple of hours or a couple of 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, at a time, that's important. You know, if there's no way for you to get any kind of alone time, you need to find it. You need to work hard for it, you know, because this is the way I decompress, basically. Just come in here and just talk and talk to you. But
so I think you're asking me about what's next.
I was gonna ask you, yeah. So what's next?
Yeah, I don't want to avoid your question, but yeah. So I have the next 3 months here, at least in Colombia, and what I've been doing is focusing on dietas and retreats with ayahuasca. That's been one of my focuses. Another really big focus for myself has been building the online community that we talked about, that Wolf Pack, and like I've been building it through a program that I call the Fellowship, which is like, it's Howlers of Truth, and the Fellowship is basically, you know, bringing all these different, I would say, my own like inner medicines and like sharing them in the way that feels so authentic to me, that feels just like true to my heart. Like, okay, this is what I can share in this moment and really serve others abundantly. So that's been one of my big focuses as well. And in general, so what I feel called to, actually, it was a reflection that came up today. I really feel called to come back to the United States to start to connect with people that I've been connecting with online.
Awesome.
But connecting in person and building that physical, you know, tribe, that physical community, and sharing my practices more and more with people that, if it feels like it, all the people are in the US in a way. Like all the people that want to learn these practices, meditation, plant medicine, mindset, mindfulness, and really looking for personal growth. It feels like there's so many people in the US at this moment in time, and I really feel called to share, like to serve my medicine. And another insight that came through me was like, okay, the best way I can make it affordable and also organize myself is by creating a book. Creating a guide around, you know, how to do this, like how to, you know, create your own spiritual path, your own spirituality, and focus it around ayahuasca, like how it's helped me, and the potential of like, okay, ayahuasca is a powerful plant medicine, and it has so much potential. And I feel like a lot of people don't really know the potential, or at least in my interactions, they don't know. But I think if I wrote a book about it, it would change, at least like, it would make it easier for other people to understand, like, oh, this is what ayahuasca is, and this is Zap's journey. And I think that's a big one for me.
Tell your story, man, for sure.
Because I think sometimes I don't have the space or capacity to share my story. Like,
well, you're more than welcome to hear, man. I'd love to hear it. Well, honestly, go ahead.
Even like my story, it's hard to really tell in, you know, in an hour's time. It takes a whole book, probably.
Yeah. All right, give me the cliff notes. Where were you born? Where'd you grow up?
Well, the beginning's not, I would say, the intro wouldn't be so interesting. It's, you know, I grew up like how most people in the U.S. grew up, you know, very privileged in a way, which I see privilege as saying like, oh, I had money, enough money for, you know, food, to live in a house, education, and also the extras as well, like being able to play sports. And if I needed or wanted anything, I had it as well. You know, I had everything that I needed or wanted growing up for most of my life, like until I was, I would say 20, like really living in that programmed system and way of being where actually I was silenced. I silenced myself a lot. I just followed the flow of society and just went with it. I was like, okay, this sounds good. And then until like there was a moment where I started to really wake up and realize like, I don't truly want to do this. I think I don't truly want to follow this path of, all right, you know, go to college. Once I finish college, you know, get a really good job.
Yeah.
A bunch of money.
At least it took you only 20 years. It's taken me almost 40.
We all learn.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's like you go through the process. You buy a car, buy your house, you know, get married, have a family, like all these things that the society tells you that's the way
it's supposed to be. Right.
That's the way you're supposed to live.
Right? Get a regular 9-to-5, raise your kids, 2.5, what is it? The 2.3 kids and the dog, you know.
And the dog, yeah. Like I really felt like I was really on that path. And there was something that would just like shook in me. It really woke me up. And I realized like, no, like my dream, even in college, I wanted to travel. So my last year, my final semester, like my final year in college, I decided like, okay, I'm going to travel and live in Brazil as a exchange student for 6 months. So I went.
How do you sign up? How do you sign up for something like that?
Yeah, well, my school had lots of connections.
Okay.
The school I went to. And so there were opportunities to do like shorter amounts of time, like, okay, like 3 months, 4 months. But I was like, no, I'm going to go 6 months and learn a different language. And so I decided to go to Brazil and learn Portuguese. And so I lived in Rio for 6 months, and that's probably the best decision of my life. Changed my life.
I would love to be in Rio for 6 months. Ooh-wee.
And yeah, I mean, as an exchange student, you have everything that you need.
Yeah.
Like I would go to the beach, like, no problem. Like, okay, finish the day, go to the beach, work out, get some, you know, coconut water, hang out with friends, and, you know, sometimes exploring the city. And there's a lot of parties, though, too. I'd go to parties. I enjoy my time in Brazil, like in Rio, to the fullest the first 6 months. I was like, this is my opportunity to just fully be. And so Rio really woke me up as well. Like that, the first time I arrived in Rio, I started to cry. Like I didn't know why I was crying too. I was just like, but I was entering the city and I could see like the Christ the Redeemer statue. I was like, whoa, like, am I actually here? Like this dream that I had. And I once I arrived, it's like, oh, it's, you know, this isn't just a dream. Like, or it is a dream. I was living within that dream. And it was so beautiful. Like I didn't know what to expect. I was just surrendering to the flow. And Rio and Brazil in general, it really taught me that, how to just really be present, to enjoy the journey, and to like, to really surrender to the flow, and to not be in any like rush to get to some point. And yeah, so that was like the college portion, like ending college.
Did you party? How bad did you party?
Oh, so I partied.
I was.
Then like that was, I was the biggest partier. Like in my spiritual path, I would say it's taught me that the most important thing is to experience every part of the journey.
Sure.
So though I'm talking about like talking down in a way about like you know, doing the American life, like having a car, family,
yeah, all
these things. In a way, like I can't say that it's a good or bad thing because I haven't experienced it for myself. But I do see that like eventually in my life they will arrive, that moment when all those things will be like a part of my life and a part of my journey. So I think that's natural, right? So if one person spends a lot of time at home, like in the family life, like that, you know, that rooted, you know, United States, like American dream life as well.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. At one day, maybe it will arrive that time for you to travel and to have the same experiences that I'm speaking of right now. But I saw it in my journey really necessary to go travel and have these experiences right where I'm at, like right now versus in the future. And that was just like my intuition telling me like just to go. And now like coming back, it's been so much learning that's happened on that journey. It's hard to really describe all the, like put it into words. And I think that's why I really want to write a book on this, because it's been almost 6 years now since I first left the US to travel to Brazil. And in those 6 years, it's just been a complete transformation. And I even have come to the point where I would say like, I feel completely full and like the most grateful sense. Like, I really feel full. Like if I had a lot of money, it would be beautiful. If I had nothing at all, it would still be so beautiful. Like, I just feel that fullness of like being able to live here now and to be in any place and feel like really at peace with myself.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I think that journey is the pursuit of happiness, if you will, you know, and to have you say that you feel full, and that's awesome. That really is. I want everybody to know, you know, who you are and what you bring to this world, because it's very important, man. It really is. And there's, you know, my generation of people where, you know, we were brought up really that, you know, plant medicine is bad. You know, it can poison you. You know, you can die. And, you know, now in this journey that we're all having really together, the world is being awakened by you know, plant medicine. So it's you know, it's really, really awesome to see. And so you've been there for 6 years. Do you know how to dance salsa?
Salsa? So I'm actually learning salsa.
Right. What about merengue? Cumbia?
Brazil is samba. I spent a lot of time in Brazil.
So yeah.
My first dance that I learned from down here was samba. And then I've learned a little bit of salsa moves, actually.
Uh-oh. You want to show the camera?
Yeah, I don't think they're ready for it.
Facts, man.
No, salsa. And then, of course, like, some of the, like, indigenous, like, traditional dances I've learned through ceremony and working with.
I figured you were, since, I guess, just Peru speaks Spanish. So Peru and Colombia, I figured, you know, since you've been there for a while, you might have picked up on some cumbia moves. Maybe a little bit of salsa. So
more salsa and a little bit of other things, but
cumbia. Get that cumbia, I'm telling you, that's fun. The girls get down with that one. Oh
yeah. No, dancing is amazing. I love dance. For me, that's one of the medicines, actually. You know, it's kind of sad because I've spent a lot of time here in Colombia during, like, the time of quarantine. Like, everyone was afraid to touch anyone. Like, you know, you can't even like greet your neighbor, right? You can't even say hi to your neighbor. And
that's terrible.
That's been kind of, in a way, I feel that, like, disconnection within me sometimes of, like, whoa, like, I've gone on this journey, I feel connected to myself, and I can connect with people virtually, but I feel so awkward sometimes, like, this connection with people physically because of what's happened in the world. Like, it feels that it's almost like there's this resistance.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just giving someone a hug or just, you know, like, touching or dancing, right? All these things that were so natural before, especially in South America, are now like, whoa, like, no, you can't do that. You know, you can't dance with that person there, you know? And it's been a little traumatic for me as well to go through that, to be used to, like, living in Brazil. I was used to, like, oh yeah, you know, contact with people, always hugging, always being, like, close, like, you know, eating together, doing all these things together, to, like, none of it at all for a few months. And actually, that's been something that I've had to get used to. And I think coming to any place now, going to any place in the world, it's something that actually, it's, like, almost like an internal, like, battle for me, because I feel that it's so natural to, like, if you feel like you want to hug someone, like, if you want to hug someone, like, to give them a hug. Like, I feel it's so natural for us.
Yeah, that's, especially if you know me, you know, I'm shaking your hand, giving you a hug, I'm doing all that. But, you know, since all this is just a fist bump. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, yeah, and it's, like, because then it's, like, it's on two sides, right? If you're the person going for a hug and it feels, like, kind of it feels bad when the other person's like, oh no, like just fist bump. And then, but then it makes us, for me, it makes us question like our humanity, right? Like our humanness. Are we now just turning into robots? Like, are we not going to be able to be in contact with people and have these really close connections with like people, like to fully live our life? Like, are we going to just live in a way that's really separated, like for the rest of our life? And something that I've actually questioned a lot.
Yeah, I hear you, man. It's something I'm working on. You know, human connection is being lost. Every single day that passes, especially with all the social media, and everybody wants to be a quote unquote influencer or a podcaster. Hi. You know, it's, you know, it's, everything's going digital. Nobody, like, everybody wants to be in their, you know, bubble and get their packages at the door and do Zoom meetings. I think I just described myself mostly.
Yeah. I definitely see myself in you and what you described as well. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. The internet has saved us time in a lot of ways. Like, we can have this connection without me like traveling in an airplane across the world and then recording this podcast.
That's right.
And we can do it, for example, in this hour, right? Mm-hmm. We can set a time and we can create a space, like a sacred space for us to share and to connect, which is really beautiful. Like, this is a connection. I would say that, yeah, like, to be careful for all of us, like, to not just focus on the online side, even if it's making us money or it's showing us like the sense of profit, you know.
Sure.
Because a lot of this comes down to, like, when you truly are living life, you're not going to be on your computer sitting down, or like when you're truly living life to the fullest, you're going to be how we're going to be living how we our ancestors lived, you know, going out into nature, living closer to nature, even if it's like, okay, I live in a cabin or I live like a house outside, right? You have that opportunity, like in the day, to go, you know, go hunting or go garden for your food, go fishing, you know.
I wish I could do that all day. Just go hunt my food, just be self-reliant, not worry about anybody, not even worry about the electricity, have our own power grid, if you will, you know, just living on our natural resources. That's what I want to get back to, man. I'm dying for that.
And think about this, like, a lot of people are talking about, you know, wanting to live healthy, right? Wanting to, you know, they talk about diets and these exercises and things. But if you're living close to nature, you know, to heat yourself up, what are you doing? You're chopping down wood.
Mm-hmm.
You're carrying that wood across. Like, you gotta use your, you know, good form. And, you know, there's strategy too. It's like, it's in itself like an art, like creating a fire. And then from there, it's like, you have to go, if you were creating that fire, you have to go get food, right? If you want to cook. So you get hunting, or, you know, you get fish. And naturally, when you're moving and you're active, like, you don't even have to worry about like, oh, am I following like this diet? Like, where's my food from? Naturally, you're getting your food from, from where it was meant to be.
And it's not synthetic either. It's not fake food.
And then it's like your body and like your mind and spirit just feels so good, and you want to share that with other people. So then other people are like, yeah, let's do this. And then also it's like, if you're married, like, your wife, she sees you come back from a day like hunting, a day like,
oh, she'll give it all up.
Yeah. Building a fire, like everything. And you know, you look good. Like you look muscular, you look fit.
Yeah. She would like, ooh, wee, look at this man. Who is this guy?
Yeah. Yeah, you got like the smell of the fire, like fresh, like on you. And I feel like that's the way we were meant to really live. That's why I feel like I'm learning in this process of like, in the sense of my spirituality, is like, it's taking me from the online right at the moment. It's like taking me from this online world and really putting me back into the physical presence of like the real reality of what's going on. And because like once the power goes out or the internet goes out, what are you gonna actually do?
Yep.
With your online.
Exactly. You know, it no longer exists anymore.
Yeah. So it's about creating a balance, right? Between the online and the physical. And I see it as like, all right, online is great for communication connections, but you don't necessarily need to spend, we don't need to spend every single day like online.
So sure.
I actually design my weeks where I have certain days, like usually Monday to Thursday, where I have days that I spend more time online. And then Friday to Sunday, you know, I'll be in ceremony. I'll spend my time like in the mountains, in nature, learning about these practices, learning how to, you know, how to make a fire, how to tend to the fire, how to, you know, how to fish, how to construct things, how to be actively like meeting with people in person and helping them versus just online. So I really feel that this time that we've gone through over the last year has really allowed me to really get clear about what actually truly matters. And that's been really beautiful.
Yeah, because what truly matters is, you know, humans, us, people, you know, that's what matters. We're not a computer program. We're not a virus. We're not, you know, any of those things. We're people, flesh and blood, man.
Yeah, statistic, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Not at all. But hey, man, if you got anything else to say, I know you got to make some calls, so I don't want to, you know, hold you up too long, man. Is there anything you want to tell anybody out there right now?
Yeah, I would say one of the messages that have been coming through for me with my work with ayahuasca and plant medicine that I feel like I'm channeling this right in this moment. There's a few things. The first thing I would say that has been coming up is this work on self-acceptance. You know, a lot of the health industry is actually focused on like, you know, changing yourself, like not accepting yourself, saying like everything that you are is bad, like, you know.
Yeah.
And we even have these judgments, right? These internal judgments, like this is what you're doing is bad, all these things are bad. And what I've learned through ayahuasca is that, yeah, maybe some things are actually not so helpful to where you want to go with your vision. But take that time at least to observe yourself and those things that I would call like the shadow, observing your shadow and learning how to fully accept the shadow as part of who you are. And to acknowledge that like there are some parts of yourself that you don't really agree with, but it's also okay. It makes you who you are as well.
We're so complicated. We're complicated beings, man.
Yeah. But imagine this, like the more we accept who we are already, the more we can be happy with our life in this moment. Without changing a thing, we can instantly be a little bit happier if we just learn how to accept. Right.
That's a big word.
Yeah. So that's the first one. The second part of that is self-love. Love is everything. Love is what makes the world, what fuels the world, what creation is, like that creative force of everything, behind everything. And what I've learned through this, my journeys with plant medicine, has been so clear. It's like, you know, when we love ourselves, when we love ourselves fully and unconditionally, what ends up happening is we're able to, you know, love others, serve others in a place of abundance. But whenever we go back to the first part, when we don't love ourselves fully, if we don't fully love and accept ourselves, then we can't actually reach that space of, like, you know, pure love for others. But that's what we all desire to share with the world, like that pure love, just like, you know, to have those states of bliss and peace as well. So that's been a big message as well.
It's a good message.
Yeah.
For sure. Inner peace is important.
And through this process, it's been interesting for myself. One thing that I feel that I don't accept is help. So I think in my personal journey, what I'm learning more and more as a leader, as a person, like as a coach, as a facilitator of medicine, I'm learning more and more to ask others for help. Because I think a lot of times people don't know what they want to do because they're spending time like idle, waiting for someone to ask them, like, what are you doing? Or like, can you help me? And the longer I say like, oh no, I don't need help, or the longer I you know, push away someone else's support or help, the more suffering I'm actually creating in a way. Because I'm creating this internal suffering because I'm not allowing it out to say, like, help me. Like, I'm looking for help in this area specifically. And it's something that I'm working on. And it's a step of self-love for me to say, like, oh, like, I need help in this specific area. Like, or I don't know this. Could you teach me this?
Yeah.
So it's like surrendering the ego.
I hear that a lot. Ego death is what I hear a lot, especially when it comes to plant medicine.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that, look, I know the word, but I could not describe to you what that means or anything like that because I've never really done anything like ayahuasca. So I couldn't even tell you, you know.
Ego death is like essentially the same as like surrendering to the service. Whatever your highest mission or highest calling is like fully surrendering to that, and that will take you to ego death. For me, the highest calling has been to be basically a messenger of ayahuasca, to be able to share my own experiences, and you know, that's been my biggest process, to share, you know, to serve others through sharing my story by connecting people as well to the opportunities to really connect with these traditions. And it's been hard. It's been really hard. There's been moments where I'm like, you know, like, I don't want to do this anymore. But then, and then the next day I'm like, the next moment I'll be like, okay, but yeah, let's go.
Yeah. It's
like that surrender to like, oh no, like there's this higher calling. Like, and a lot of people don't share that as well, but to do this work, there's always this resistance. There's always resistance.
Sure. How long have you been, you know, using the ayahuasca and the plant medicines that you've you know, talked about before.
So now it's almost been 3 years.
How often do you do it?
At first, it started off like every month for the first like two and a half years. And then in the last year, like in the last, I would say the end of 2020, I met my shaman, like the healer that I work with here. And ever since then, it's been almost every week.
Oh, wow.
It's been almost like a weekly.
Do you still get nervous before you take it?
Right at the moment, right before. Right before I drink, it's in my hands. I'm like, okay.
Here we go.
I would say more and more with all these practices, though, with meditation, with yoga, with this daily practice, right, with being able to connect with people, more and more it's more about just being open and allowing whatever to flow through. And it hasn't been like, oh, this is such a hard experience. It's been more like, oh no, it's like training, it's practice. Practice isn't always fun. Practice is sometimes just you showing up and, you know, committing to your call and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing sure. happens. That's how it's been a lot for me in the last like ceremonies that I've been doing. It's just been practice. Like, all right, meditate. All right. It's like, she shows me like, okay, you're on this journey. You know what to do. Meditate, like breathe, you know, that's all. And,
wow, that's interesting. So like, is she there to like coach you still a little bit, you know? Like tell you, hey man, this is what you're doing. This is your job, brother.
It's just a mirror.
Yeah, so, sure. Okay.
I feel what she's, you know, she's showing me. That's it. It's mirrored back to me. And I'm thinking about this. You can basically in your life, you can breathe through anything. You can breathe through any moment, even to the moment where, you know, you stop breathing, the moment of death. In that moment that, you know, we die, it's also like, you know, we take one final breath and then we go. So what we call like the secrets, you know, to the universe is basically the process of meditation, connecting with your breath or connecting with your thoughts in some shape or form to your emotions. And if you can do that, if you can observe your breath, observe your emotions, observe your thoughts, you can literally do anything in the world because you realize that that's all that's there.
Yeah, that's true.
When all the illusion, all the material things are gone, when you're out in the nature by yourself and, you know, you're freezing cold or you're burning hot, you're in the desert, there's no water, there's no food, you're still with yourself, you're still with your breath, you're still with your thoughts. And that's what ayahuasca has shown me, like in those moments where you're approaching that feeling of dying, like that death.
Whoa.
You're still just with yourself. It's just you and you.
That's true.
You and your breath, you and your thoughts.
That's actually pretty scary to me. I ain't gonna front. I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Well, think about it, it never finishes. It never finishes. That journey is always there.
Yeah.
Because your, you know, your thoughts, your emotion, even the concept of breath. Like there's like the physical breath, but I also feel that there's like that spiritual breath. Spiritual breath of life where you just, it's more of a feeling.
Yeah. Interesting. I would argue
that we take those feelings. I don't know like what death actually is, but I would argue that we take those feelings with us no matter where we are.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, my mother passed beginning of January, and you know, she still feels like she's here to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I still feel like I can pick up the phone and call her. You know,
and that's the truth too. And from a spiritual standpoint, you know, your mom is already within, it's within you. The memory that you have is of her is also implanted in your mind. It's in your spirit. And so you're a living version of her in this world.
Boom. Just like that. Oh, how long, real quick, how long did it take you to grow them dreads out?
Yeah. So this is about the time of, I cut my hair once in my journey. After I got back from the United States the first time in 2016. So it's been 5 years.
Wow. Holy crap. How the hell do you take care of those things?
They're natural. Every once in a while I have to like touch them up, like re-dread the roots, but.
Because it's growing, yeah.
It's pretty much just growing by itself, so.
Yeah, crazy. Cool, man. Thank you so much for coming on. And if you could, you know, please, any plugs, any way you want, you know, people to support you, you know, feel free, put it out there.
Yeah, the best way people can connect with me is through Instagram at the Soulful Poet. And that's, you know, soulful. If you could add it into the, it's soulful with two L's, mm-hmm. like soul, like full soul and then poet. Besides that, like people that are interested in either coming down to Colombia or anywhere to do ayahuasca to really experience this powerful medicine can reach me, as well as people that really just want to connect with, you know, that wolf pack, that sense of community, tribe, virtually. And my goal, personal goal, is to connect more in person with that wolf pack and really unite that in this community. Yeah. And so anyone that feels called to be a part of this mission, this dream, feel free to connect with me.
Facts. Thanks, brother. Thank you so much, man. This has been real fun. And it should be out in probably 3 weeks, maybe. It's taking me a little while, but yeah, hell yeah, about 3 weeks. Yeah. So, all right, brother. Thank you so much. Yeah, Soulful Poet, everybody. You.